If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Y'all, when I was cooking dinner for my parents just now, which is what I do when I'm home.
We got poodles in South Carolina, not in Los Angeles.
No. My father said, we'll let Jake say the blessing to then he can show how grateful he is to have us as parents.
No, he did not.
And I went, I'm going to pass.
No, he did not say that.
He did say that.
Whoa.
And my mother went,
wow.
What world are we living in? So if you can spare a thought for the next couple of days, I'm going to be here until Monday.
Yeah. You're flying back on Christmas, right?
Yeah. This is AM Gay.
Boy, your mom's not going to let you forget that one. This is AM Gay. Already, we're drinking.
We are drinking.
It's been
a day.
I've already faced,
my mother's already had to move Christmas lunch to a brunch. And she says brunch with such venom.
Can you just go over to your brother's house one night and get high?
I'm doing that, I think, on Saturday.
Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Just relax.
Yeah, there's some hot boys in his area too. Because when I go home, I get hypersexual.
What?
I'm like,
this isn't a question someone submitted, but I'm gonna ask. How does poodle, what is the difference of hypersexual poodle?
I'm like, you know how women who are bipolar get super hypersexual?
Yeah.
Like, that's me right now.
You're always hypersexual. Like, when is there a lull? That's what I'm confused about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, y'all, she's right. This is the AM Gay. Poodles
it's
and stuff.
AM Gay. We are
in Oklahoma.
We're recording this on December 21st. You're hearing it on, I don't know when we're dropping this.
You know what?
I think we're dropping it the following week.
I think we're dropping it the 31st.
The week
we are. This is a two-parter, but this is the last of our shows. After this, we're done for the holiday.
This is the last.
Yeah. So
it feels appropriate.
It does.
We're wrapping it up.
We usually do kind of wrap up with this. It feels better this way. I'm excited. You're going to go. I'm jealous that you're going to LA. I'm excited to go to the Christmas markets in Vienna. I'm excited. Should I go see Beethoven's house? Was it worth it?
Do you like Beethoven?
I do. I want to see Mozart's because I like Mozart, but I heard it's kind of a dud.
The Mozart house is not one he lived in for a long time.
He was just, and I just kind of want to be there to be in the energy of Mozart.
That's all of Vienna.
That's Vienna, yeah.
Or just go to a sex club. That's the energy of Mozart.
Was Mozart gay too?
No, he just liked to bunk.
He did like to fuck. All right. Hypersexual poodle is drinking and get going. We gotta get to these questions.
Y'all, the grinders hit me up at every damn time.
Oh, okay, y'all. This is the AM Gay. This is on the public feed, but these questions are brought to you by RG Plus subscribers. We tried our best. Anyway, we had such a great year, so we want to thank y'all. So this is a time where y'all get to ask us anything. And believe me,
and then we choose exactly what we want to answer.
Then we choose.
So it's not really an AMA. It's not like a Reddit AMA where people are putting things like you submit our questions and then we carefully select which questions that don't offend our like fragile sensibilities enough to answer.
It wasn't like last year when someone asked how much we make a month.
Oh, yes.
Someone asked that. And then also
lots of questions about your relationship.
All of you asked if I was still with my ex at the time when I was completely shattered about the whole thing. I did not want to answer it.
Spoiler alert. Hashtag devastated. Hashtag dumped.
I wasn't dumped.
That's true.
Hashtag I dumped. Yeah, but anyway.
But hashtag devastated is right.
Devastated. broken. But there is a question about that we will be answering. Really thoughtful questions. We're going to tell you this now. Several of you wanted to know if Poodle's in love. Poodle never tells anyone if he's in love or not. That's not a Poodle way.
You're going to know I'm in love with you when... You're on the bed, you're on the hospital bed, and you've taken your last breath, and I whisper, I never loved you. Or, I was almost in love with you. So close. So close. You were so close, Gerald. You were so close.
So close.
Until I had to meet your fucking kids.
Anyway, I'm excited for these questions. All right, Poodle, what's our first, or I have it here. Do you know it? If not, I have it. Our first question.
I don't have it.
It is.
Now I'm there.
Do you have a Christmas gift from childhood that created a core holiday memory? Happy holidays.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before. Maybe I have. You can tell me, or if I haven't, and I'll choose a different one. But... I had a little tiny Casio keyboard that I got, and it had these little cassettes that you slide into it.
Oh, so this is like different than the one that played Barbara Streisand's Evergreen.
No, I played that on the piano.
No,
these were little inserts, and it was in the little lights lit up on the keyboard, and so I that would tell you where to put your fingers. But I never fucked with that because I already knew how to do it.
wow!
So I turned those off. Only amateurs needed those. So they had like little inserts, and the one that came with it, there were like. There were like four songs. One of them was Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue. It was country. The other was 9 to 5. And what was there was one that was like Eddie Rabbit, I Love a Rainy Night.
Oh, I love that song. I almost sang that my birthday.
Or what's the one?
I keep a moving. It's got the big wheels now ticking.
That one.
Oh, I'm driving my life away. These are all songs on Maddie's Honkin' Tonkin' Mix available on Spotify.
It was Driving My Life Away. Mm. And then what was the last
one? That is Eddie Rabbit.
Yeah.
But was it Juice Newton?
No, but I got a lot of other, and that kind of... Because I would play on the little keyboards, and my parents thought that was a suitable replacement for piano. So that was kind of the first realization that they have no fucking idea to how to understand me.
Oh, yeah,
but,
that part.
But I really loved that gift. And so I played on it for like days after that. And it only took them 3 years later to actually realize I needed piano lessons. So wow. That in luck to court memory.
Glad it was.
But I was obsessed with it.
It seemed all happy.
I think most of my childhood is small glimmers of happiness tinged with a general malaise of sadness.
That, I get that. That's fair. That's fair.
That may be who I am now.
It's who you are. It's who you are. No, I didn't know that. That was good. See, that's why I love these. We learn shit about each other. Mine was, I don't remember what they were, but they were these books. I mean, because I've already told the story about when I got my grandpa got me the Discman for Christmas, and it was the
Discman. Whitney, no one says Discman.
Well, it's a Discman. It was a Sony Discman, and it was Whitney Houston's Bodyguard album, and it changed my life. I've already talked about that.
Gay.
Oh, yeah. That was a core memory. But no, these, I remember when, I was just reminded of another one. I'm just reminded of another one. Stop the bus. Who is this? I remember when I walked in Christmas and my parents had got me, it was this, I never thought that like Santa would bring this because I was younger, but it was like this huge kind of like Desert Commando G.I. Joe tank. And it was huge. And I was so, I know you would, this doesn't sound like me.
I was going to say,
don't
is
worry.
Is it because all the men were like kept together in close quarters?
Don't worry. I'm getting there. So it's like this huge tank thing with all this, because I love He-Man and stuff too, but I love G.I. Joe. And it was all these G.I. Joes. And you could put like a plane in there and like a tank in there. It was just, the thing was huge. It was massive. But the
a hangar?
Yes, it was like this hangar, but on wheels. It was like a car. But the thing I was most excited about is it wasn't. I already had Miss Scarlet. She was my favorite G.I. Joe person.
You know,
course.
It's not Miss Scarlet. It's Scarlet.
It's just Scarlet.
Yeah.
But. She was very hard to find, but driving the car was Lady J.
Ooh, and one of our first lesbian icons.
I was so happy that it was Lady J driving this big G.I. Joe tank, and Lady J and Miss Scarlet just rode together in the front of that car.
Elma Louise style. They didn't care who they pissed off.
Oh, my mother, because I would love
I to. I guarantee you they had a bunch of dogs in the back.
And I love driving it because I would drive it in the dining room and the kitchen where the carpet was really short, so it would drive really well on the kitchen carpet.
And on the radio was the closer I am to find. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was a good story because you thought this doesn't sound gay, but with any of Jake and I's story, wait.
That sounds real gay.
Just wait, we'll get there. We'll get to the gay. Anyway,
I'm
very
glad you had that.
Okay, what poodle? I'm gonna let you choose the next question.
This is a good one. Let me just do this one right off because we had like three people ask about this, and it's something we say every year, but maybe it's not clear. People ask when we say on our theme song, people ask, you said the key to what poodle? And I go, to love, it's reality gaze, let's blank. And the word people have thought it was a fuck.
Let's fuck.
Which I kind of like.
I'm into that.
Someone said let's fly. Someone say let's fall. But it is let's love.
L-O-V-E.
Love. And I thought I tried to pronounce the V more specifically in my diction, but I'm going to blame Maddie for just going love, even though he could do it more specifically because he was at a lower pitch level.
I know that he was going to blame me, and I don't care. I don't care.
I'm going to blame your lazy diction. for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it actually bothers me that we get that note.
My diction is great. Mm, my English diction's great.
Again, yeah. Reality gaze, let's love. There should be a V at the end. Now I want to add that.
We're not. I think it's because Frank, the intern's already made it sound better. I think that's probably because we put reverb on that and it kind of echoes out. So it's kind of, I think that's why. So I don't want to lose the reverb and the echo. So no, not happening.
Well, if you come to a live show, you better best bet I will be saying love very explicitly. Y'all.
Wow.
The If You Can Dream It tour, tickets available before
not yet.
By the end of January.
That's what we're hoping for.
April
that's,
and May.
That's
clear your schedules.
All
I
right.
swear to God, if someone tells me, oh, I can't, we have a graduation party that night on Saturday, fuck off. No one gives a shit.
We need to move on. We need to move on. Poodle. If you could be any Disney character, who would you be and why?
Like Disney mainstream, like in the movies, like the Disney movies or like Disney characters? Like
they just say Disney like in, character. In, And actually, I'm gonna take this two ways because I already feel torn because there's some of the Disney characters I want to be because they're hot guys and they would get a lot of dick.
But you're not them.
But I'd want to be that Disney character.
Oh, is that what they're asking?
They're asking which Disney character are we? So I'm gonna give you two. Who's the hot person you want to be to get fucked? And who is a Disney princess who speaks to, or villain, who speaks to your heart?
I think if I in an ideal world, who would I be that would get would I would be knee deep in pussy? Because let's face it, it's a very heterosexual world of Disney.
It is.
It'd have to be Aladdin with that open shirt.
Oh my God, I was going to say Aladdin with that open shirt. It's, I agree.
Y'all, that was a seminal moment. And
he's also twinkish.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes, he was hot. And also, he's forever young. So you're always young. You're
and
always a twink.
There's also something about that hat.
Yeah. And he's so agile and he can climb buildings and just like, yeah.
He could like just bounce around.
Totally.
If it is someone
who
that
speaks
I
to your
would,
heart, who would you want to be? Live that life.
you have your looks, you have your brain, and don't underestimate the importance of body language. It would be Ursula, y'all. Any day of the week. Campiest villain ever. The villains are just more fun.
They are more fun. And yeah, you've actually been Ursula before.
I have been Ursula.
Who would you be? I actually think probably this is... I'm torn by this.
Don't be basic.
No, I'm just... I really think that probably... Of all, boy, this is a lot because I watched a lot of Disney as a kid.
Oh my God, come on.
I think the person that I would be, I get nagged by them. I'm going to pick, you're going to make fun of me. You're not going to like it.
No, I won't.
I think I would be Cinderella so I could wear that dress.
Ugh.
Don't get me wrong. I love Ariel. Ariel talks a lot. Ariel speaks a lot to my heart.
Cinderella has no agency.
But I would be a different Cinderella. I would.
No,
I'd be like
you
Cinderella
wouldn't.
I'd be like Drew Barrymore in Ever After.
That's mixing genres.
You're right. I wouldn't. Probably, I want to be Cinderella if I'm being...
Be, be Amy Adams, and then you get to be you get in Enchanted, and yeah. then, or with Giselle, then you get to have agency, and like then you realize you can remake the world.
But I want to say I would be Ariel because I wouldn't go against my father's wishes like that.
I know I would you do would, that. You would be a good girl.
I wouldn't do that. Do I want to be Aurora? Do I want to be Sleeping Beauty so I can talk to? But I don't want to talk to birds. I'm scared of birds. I don't want to sing up with birds. So Cinderella, I'm not that scared of mice. I would be fine with Gus talking to me while I'm. And I love cleaning. It's cathartic to me.
Okay, all those are fair.
That's why I would pick Cinderella.
All those she has, are fair.
Because everybody knows. Prince Eric is the hottest prince by far.
In Little Mermaid.
Prince Eric. Prince Eric is the hottest, second only to the Beast whenever he transforms.
Ooh, the Beast in human form is really hot.
It's really hot.
But I'm going to say this, the Beast in Beast form is still also hot. Really hot.
It's still really hot.
y'all, if you saw the Beast in Beast form and go, I would tap that.
Yeah, I did. But because I'd love to be Belle, but I don't.
If I had to be a heroine, it would be Belle because she's smart and she's bookish.
I actually think you are the most Ariel because you're always searching and yearning for something different outside of your life, and you would go against your father's wishes.
And she's always showing off her shoulders.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
You know, the big thing I would have a problem with is being quiet for a while.
Yeah, you wouldn't like losing your voice.
No. No. Wouldn't trade my voice.
All right. Next question, Pooh.
This is a good one. This is specifically to me, but
go ahead.
I'll let you join in. This says, Poods, if whilst summering in Newport, you were invited by Mrs. Russell and Mrs. Astor to their respective opera boxes, but you could only choose one, which would it be, and why is it the Met? y'all, the opera wars this season were incredible on the Gilded Age.
It was incredible.
And I'm gonna comment now because people have been asking for a corner, so this will be kind of like the Gilded Age corner. This season finale was absolutely staggering.
It was gorgeous too.
And I will say, my heart goes with the Academy, but my soul and my kind of like social climber feeling and my subversive Bertha Russell lives in me would go with the Met because it's in the new generation and it's gorgeous and it's bigger.
You would be like the woman who left the Academy. It's like, no one's here. I'm leaving.
This is Fish.
And she just leaves.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I honestly think it's like, I lease a car because I like to get a new car every year. Y'all, I would trade up to the Met. I would. I would trade up to that Met to be just in the same room as Morgan Spector.
Oof. Oh,
God.
Y'all, you can Google those shots. It's phenomenal.
It was beautiful though, and the fireworks with the Brooklyn Bridge and just like it felt this just new dawn of hope and then when you find out that the sister now is the one who's going to be in charge of the family business.
Yes.
Sorry, spoiler alert. But that was
not really the family business. The sister's in charge.
She has the money.
Ada.
Yeah.
Ada has been left money and they're like, I was wanting to see if Miss Forte wanted to do. And I think also the first kind of confirmation of Larian. That's Larry and Marion. That's what I've called their couple names of Larian.
I like that actually.
Larian.
I was excited for them to kiss. It was a great episode.
I feel like there's something about me that she feels like she would eat his lunch a little bit.
But I get that.
I think it's that, I don't know.
He needs, I will say as a character, we need a little bit, we need to see a little bit more of his father in him. We need to see a little more teeth.
He reads light for me.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Gay to me. I'm not saying
ooh,
the actor.
I'd wish like, that.
He feels that. So, and Oscar went back to that dick. It was a good season. I told my mother
to watch it. I missed that part. Did Oscar go back to the hot guy?
Well, he goes back crying to him whenever he gets hoodwinked.
Yeah, but they didn't fuck.
No, they didn't fuck.
And they're it's only temporary.
Yeah.
No.
I'm excited for season three. It's going to be a good.
Me too.
Very exciting.
And I love that stupid alarm clock plot. I don't care how dumb it is.
I want him to make $1 million.
I love that actor too.
He's so great. He's so just handsome in a character way.
I saw a picture of him smoking on the street and I wanted to bang him so bad.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
To all our queens. To Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens!
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your next one? It's so, I'm so obvious.
This one is, what is your dream project, separate and together?
I mean, I kind of feel like, I don't mean to sound cheesy, together, like this is, we are literally living a dream, full stop.
So I agree. I think this is a pretty great thing together.
Yeah, we really, this is what we always imagine. We have other stuff complaining that
cut you off.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm just riding it while I can. We have some other things that we do dream about, sadly, or not sadly, wonderfully, those kind of things are in the works, but by a contract and things like that, we're not allowed to.
Can't actually say them.
We can't actually talk about stuff. So,
yes. I can say in non-specifics,
you can talk about separate or...
I can say non-specific things that I'd like to do separately is, I mean, I'm a writer. I write music and I write lyrics and I write prose. And I'd love to expand that to podcasts, and some things are in the market for that. One of the things I'm going to talk about in the next couple of months is one of my shows is being produced that I wrote music and lyrics for. Mm-hmm. So that's going to go up in Los Angeles.
That's a comedy, right?
Chekhov called it a comedy.
Only Poodle writes a musical about Chekhov.
It's a comedy in the Russian sense of the word. Chekhov really did call it a comedy.
Wow.
There are funny parts of it, but it is a very emotional, let's say heartfelt rock musical. Mm. Yeah.
I love your musicals.
Thank you. It's based on Chekhov's The Seagull, but it's set currently in the music industry.
Mm.
So, and that I'll be telling you more information about that in 2024. So
that's exciting. Yeah. I picked this question too because I'm in a little bit of this space right now for myself. I think I just kind of had a get out of last year for myself, and now I feel myself. I'm definitely with everything that happened. I'm on the other. I was just talking to my therapist, like noticing the last 3 months, 4 months. I'm really on the other side of grief, and I'm happy. And so, when you're happy, is when you can start to think creatively. And I just bring this up because I know a lot of you are in this space right now, and I just wanted to say, if you're not feeling happy or you're not feeling your best self right now, we put pressure on ourselves that we need to quote produce or we need to have output. And that, and I just want to say that isn't the time for that. Let your body rest, let your body kind of rebuild. Cause now I'm kind of having the inklings of, I don't want to do Dear Maddie, but do I want to do something in podcasts? And you know, something for me, I want to be acting more. You know, I've done stuff commercially, but I've gone out for series regular roles twice now for different shows. So like, I want to book a sitcom. That's something I want to do. So that's something I want to get back into myself. Great. Is acting. So it's, but I'm still figuring it out.
What you were saying though is about accomplishments and being productive. Y'all, trust me, what I've been doing in my therapy, and maybe this speaks to some of y'all, that's not your worth.
It's not. I just had to tell a friend.
It's not your worth.
That is not her worth.
And I know that, but it's hard. It means nothing about who you are. My therapist calls it the human doing, that we have to be doing something.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
And all the time, I gotta say, my therapist is really brilliant. And I met her on BetterHelp.
BetterHelp, y'all. Use our code.
But I just feel like, yeah, you're right. Everybody puts this, that's why I brought this question up. We put this pressure on ourselves. I don't, you know, Ina Garten.
Produce.
I was just watching, she was being interviewed by someone from the BBC, and she was talking about the barefoot contestant.
Big Black Cock?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I've been interviewed by them a lot. And
probing interviews. Deep probing interview
every time. Every time it went deeper. She said, you know, and this is so true, y'all. Ina said, I just think, she's like, it's impossible to predict your future. We never know where we're going to end up. So instead, she's like, just get in the kiddie pool and splash around now and have fun. And then when you see something else in the pool, go over there and splash around and have fun over there. And suddenly, before you know it, you're going down this stream that you didn't even know existed. And I think that was a great metaphor.
I love that. And I love that. I love Owen Yang was asked when he...
I want him on our show.
I know. Y'all manifest that. We're trying to make it work. Was asked, do you plan for a lot of things? And he's like, I used to. And I used to really try to figure out how I could make things work. And he's like, now I try to leave space for two things, which is surprise and delight.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Surprise. Yeah. That is great. Follow the fun. I love that.
Surprise. Like, so something will be surprise. And then delight. An actual, authentic delight.
So I love
less
that.
Less planning, more surprise and delight.
More surprise and delight. So that's what, that's what we're up
to. Is it my turn?
It is.
Okay. This is an interesting question.
Yes.
I want to just, because we've talked about this before, but someone says, which Enneagram number is Maddie? And
I haven't taken it.
He hasn't, and I've yielded about it.
I'll do it.
He says, my guess is, I don't know, 7. I don't think he's a 7, but because I think he's either a 9, which is a peacemaker, or 2, which is the giver. I think you're closer to a 9, but I think you have attributes of both.
I mean, they're both peacemaker and givers are basically codependent people, and that's me.
Yep.
That's me.
At their worst, that's the thing. At your best, it's a different thing. That's the thing with an Enneagram. It'll tell you what you are at your best when you're kind of, or when you're like kind of neutral, and then when you are your worst. And it just helps you knowing how to relate to other people. You've poo-pooed it for a long time.
Well, it's something, personally, it's a little bit of like a poodle in me where I don't want someone to
put me in a box.
And even the type of therapist I was, like narrative therapy, is more kind of looking at the client is the expert of their life. We're not diagnosing them. We're not telling them this is your mommy issue. We kind of let them.
But it's the same thing as horoscopes.
It is very similar. So, I do totally agree with that. So I know that's a little bit of my, I think that comes from being back, you know, younger people are classifying you and saying you're this. And also as an actor, you're just told a lot, well, you're this type. Now I accept that and I recognize that. But I think that's just, honestly, I feel like that's a little bit of old Matt rejecting that. New Matt is fine with it.
Oh, now there's an old Matt and a new Matt. Well, Jesus Christ. I can't.
New Matt's going to be getting dick in 24 because 2024 is the year of the whore. And I'm going to tell you all about it on the air.
Not ready for that. Just so I'll read you about what I think you are, a 9. The peacemaker are defined by their desire to maintain inner and outer harmony. They can be gentle and agreeable. They like to diffuse conflict and bring people together. They're often the glue in some people's relationships. Deepest fear.
You're welcome.
9's fear being too needy and thus pushing people away. they cope with this fear by submitting to the desires and agendas of the people around them and being agreeable in order to be included and validated.
Wow.
I'm reading you for filth. And I'm going to say this. At their, the core values are to the quickest way to a peacemaker's heart is to acknowledge their contributions and reassure them of their importance. They love to share nuggets of wisdom. And when they are healthy, they use their conflict diffusing power to maintain harmony and bring social fluidity. They're great communicators. When they're unhealthy, they can get passive aggressive and leads to burnout and emotionally exhaustion.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I think you're kind of a combination of a 9 and a 2, I think.
So that makes me feel better. You can't box me in. I can't be just one.
Well, I'm a you have a wing, but I'm kind of like I'm somewhat of a 4 and somewhat of a 1, which is a perfectionist. But I'm mostly a 4.
Yeah, we got the agreement.
Because like y'all 4s will answer anything just to be a 4. Because the 4 is individualists, and we need to be different. We need to stand out. It's all about. It's also all about emotionally. We were emotionally starved in our childhood.
Oh, yeah. See, that makes me want to hug you. But that's a caregiver.
Yes.
But you don't want to be hugged. Because that's
I don't like to be touched.
Because that's needy, and that pushes you away.
And that pushes me away.
I don't think I need to take the test.
You're taking the test, you bitch.
Oh, okay.
All right. What's your next one?
Okay.
You are either a 9. I don't agree that you're a 7. But I think you're a 9 or a 2.
That's why I admit 2. All right. I said 7. So, okay. Someone wanted to know, we brought this up earlier. I'll just bring it up. But where is the question? They wanted me to know, it was about me. What did I learn from my last relationship? Is that what the question was?
Right. I think so.
Yeah. I just had it and I can't find it now. I think I've talked about this a lot on this year, just because I've been talking about my process in it of like, you know, being with the narcissist.
We all had to live through future faking and Peaceful Barb.
Hey, you all learned. I love Peaceful Barb. God, if I met her.
She just had a great post the other day. We all had to live through that post breakup, talking about future faking. And I was like, okay, I'm going to tolerate this. Mm. Here we go.
I think I've learned, again, for me, definitely, y'all, I can't recommend, especially like whether it's like, you know, I've talked about Al-Anon, but Codependence Anonymous and things like that have given great tools. And I don't go to meetings or anything anymore, but that literature has helped. But I think what I learned from that was the biggest thing I learned from my relationship. It's not even really about my relationship. When I look back, again, I was just talking about this with my therapist last week. When I look back at all my relationships,
pattern of life,
even not just romantic relationship, but I have friendships that ended too. I think every single person was a narcissist. And so just for me, it's recognized. I just saw like, it was like a meme, but it's so true. Like the best thing you can do for yourself in a relationship is to work on your own self-awareness and know as much about yourself as possible. So I think what I learned kind of coming out of this relationship is that I need to, that's why I have a meditation teacher now. Like I think I need to learn more about myself and dig into that. And I felt before, if I'm honest, I felt like that was selfish or conceited or arrogant to worry about myself and to think about myself and try to think. But I recognize now
you have to prioritize yourself.
There's no other, it's not even priority, but it's prioritized, but it's also there. You will not get through this life in a healthy or content or happy, whatever word way, if you don't actually ask questions about yourself in a deep way, figure out what you really want, figure out what you don't want, learn about yourself, and really honestly, like develop that self-love. And so that's kind of the biggest thing that I've learned coming out of that relationship.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
What do you think drew you, or maybe what do you think drew other people to you who were narcissists, or what do you think drew you to them?
I think energetically if we're using those enneagrams, if they could feel that I was that two or that nine, mm-hmm. they energetically to feel that I'm going to be that person to caretake for them. And at the same time, as my therapist told me too, he said, your empathy is your superpower and it's also your greatest weakness.
I've said that.
It really, because I know Jake talks about he can't watch some things, but for me personally to see, it is actually painful when I see someone in front of me that's upset to me. It mm-hmm. makes me so bothered, and I need to regulate that and fix that. But it's really not for them. It's my own really selfishness is that I can't tolerate it. So I'm mm-hmm. trying to fix it for them, fix them to fix me. And so I'm just now getting very comfortable with not caring about other people's relationships, not caring about other people's happiness, and letting that not be my responsibility. So, but I think that's what drew me in those. And we can go back to my childhood and my upbringing, and I love my dad, but my dad was a narcissist, full stop. Yeah. And so I think that I learned a lot of those behaviors from him.
And having to be a caretaker for your mom.
Yeah, my mom, emotionally, when she got divorced, I started caring. Yeah. I was a parentified child. So I think all that, I think also too, I've had other experiences, sexual abuse and things like that. Things that just made me really have to think about what the other person is thinking mm-hmm. or doing. And so it just, I think though, getting with those, it's like when we talk about these shows, we were just talking about a couple, I forgot what show it was. We were talking about, I don't remember who it was. I mean, but you can look at Ashley and Jay or people like these people have these patterns and we fit together like broken puzzle pieces. So,
I agree with you. I think, and I've said this before, that you can be too understanding of people.
I know that I can really, and someone does a terrible, one reason, I didn't watch Dahmer for two reasons. Everybody was because that was right in the middle of my breakup and everyone's you've got to watch Dahmer on Netflix. It's so good. And I said, A, I'll never date again. I'll be so paranoid. But also, I know myself. I don't want to watch that and have understanding and go, oh, I can understand why he did that, because I would. That's how much empathy I can have for a monster like that, for anyone. And I don't want to go there.
Yeah, talk to the therapist thing. Okay. Let's go to a lighter question. How about that?
Sure.
This is more, let's do more 90-day questions.
Sure.
Someone asks, if you were, where is it?
Is it the one, Imagine You Were in Charge, that one?
Yes.
Here, I have it. It's imagine you were in charge.
Imagine you were in charge of the Matt Sharp Productions for one day. What one change would you implement in the 90-day Love After Lockup multiverses? You know what I would do? And this is just, I think this is, I would tell my producers, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to do to document the truth of this, do that. Don't script something for, don't create a story where there isn't one. It may not be that these people have a storyline. Let's just follow more people, which will be more money.
Yeah.
But don't create a story and don't film something and say, we're going to make something happen where there isn't anything. Because that's what we talk about for Audacity all the time, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
That things feel too massaged. I think that's for me. And because that's my problem with authenticity. That I just break out in hives when I see it, when I don't think it's, and it also feels like sometimes that they are thinking their audience is dumber than they are.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I feel slightly offended when that happens. Mm. Yeah. I love Sharp for most of the time, but it is like, think about the early days of 90 Day. Like, you could not fake anything with Kylan Noon. The story was already as truthful as it got.
I agree, but I will say, I feel like this year of 90 Day Fiancé was one of the best years we've had of 90 Day Fiancé in a while. I thought the shows were really entertaining.
Are you talking about the series of 90 Day Fiancé? I'm sorry, I'm
talking about like the multiverse of 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh.
I know we're about to do Single Life, but don't forget, we had a Single Life at the beginning. We've had Shekinah.
Oh my God,
Sarfer,
before the 90 this year.
I think it's been, I would say, like one of the best years in like 3 or 4 years of 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
So my note would be men under, or just basically almost all men just need to be shirtless all the time. That's the rule I would put in.
Chicken shit. I went for something harder.
No, I really don't know. I was actually, this was such a great season. I was pretty happy with it. I think if there was anything, I actually less 90 Day, I will say for Love After Lockup, I think just from when we've interviewed Lindsay and we've heard rumbling, I think more than anything, and I get it because maybe they do it for legality, but I just feel like they leave out the story in Love After Lockup of some of these characters.
I totally agree.
And I would love to, like, let's really try to tell as much of the complete story. Because they haven't talked about, like, Lindsay is going to school and she's, like, working, like, in, was it politics that she was working? Or, like, prison reform?
Yeah.
Like she was doing amazing things and it's not talked about at all.
And what producers seem to focus on are what makes her Poe white trash.
Yes. And
yeah.
And it's funny, but what I think is so admired is that she's come from these experiences and now she's doing these incredible things. So I feel like, yeah, Lalu doesn't focus on that.
Not to discount anything you said. I completely understand why they don't do that.
I do too. No, I understand it.
Yeah.
I just think for me, it would make, I would like that show to go less 90 Day and go more docuseries.
It wouldn't have to be not on WE TV.
But exactly. It would have to be on a different channel. That's just something that I enjoy.
Anyway. I agree.
All right. Let's, last question. I think we're good for last question.
Yes.
Before we go to part two.
Is it my turn?
Yep. Or no, it's actually mine.
No,
but,
it's yours.
Where is the question? Because we said we decided
on.
Oh
my God. I can't tell you. It is. How did you each discover that you are a bottom? Preferred the bottom buck.
Did you just buy it?
Did you just know, or did you experiment with topping and know it wasn't for you?
Good question.
Well, Esmeralda, or whoever asked this question.
You dick pig.
Sometimes you just know you have sex and you go, well, that was good. And then you have sex and it feels like coming home. And then you're like, oh, this is what it's like. But I'm in my verse era. Who knows what's going to happen in 2024?
I mean, I'm happy if you are. I think I have to, because no, there's not any tops anywhere when you're dating.
That's true.
And so it's just like, they're all just bottoms. And
I think in hookup culture, you're more top or more bottom. But I think in like, because I've been in kind of like a relationship. I cannot believe I've been in a relationship for a year.
You have,
it's
yeah.
It's insane.
It's insane. We switched.
Like,
it's wonderful.
I got in a relationship when yours was kind of like devastatingly falling apart.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like ruthlessly, like disintegrating before our very eyes.
Like you did it on purpose, just to smite me. He did.
Like you literally said, oh, I broke up. I'm like, I'm in a relationship.
You did. That's literally how it went. You're like, I was like, I kicked him out. You're like, I just went on a great first date. We just committed. I was like, okay, great. That's wonderful for you. Super nice.
We're going away next weekend.
Great.
We're going to the last place you went to with your ex.
Yes, yes. That was a terrible vacation. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. So,
you know what I think?
One day I'll have a book, y'all. You can hear all the details then. I'm excited for that.
I will say, do I think that people are exclusively tops or bottoms? No, I don't think that. I think there's something in your character that makes you enjoy one more than the other. And maybe you're just completely versatile and you're like 50-50, or maybe you're a side and you don't like bottoming at all or topping at all. You don't do all that. That's neither us. That's neither one of us. But it is, especially I find younger generationally, men who have sex with men, that's quite often I find that to be the case for them. But,
for me, I think to bottom, you have to be, you can talk about masculine and feminine roles and all that and people's hangups about that. I actually think you have to be more comfortable with who you are to be a bottom than someone who's, I think you really have to be sure of yourself. I'm not saying
that you let go of everything.
You have to
you're bottoming.
You have to know thyself. I'm not saying that people that don't bottom, that they don't know themselves. There are some people that just don't like it and don't want to do it, or it's painful or whatever. I'm not talking about that, but I know several guys who wanted to bottom, but every time they did it, they were so tense. And I think about them and they weren't comfortable with who they were. It was a theme I saw a lot in the men. For me though, kind of like, how do you know? It was, I'll tell you, it's when you're 19 years old and you're making out with your RA on his futon in his dorm room. I think Natalie Imbruglia was playing. I don't remember. And
Torn. Are you serious?
I don't know. It was something like that. It might have been the Cardigans. And then you're making out and
just ruined the Cardigans for me.
And his huge dick is really hard after you've sucked it for like 10 minutes. And then you're laying back and you're just making out, kind of grinding on each other, and you don't know if it's going to lead to something. But then they kind of hike up your legs and they start tapping at the back door, and there's a feeling that happens. And I can't describe the feeling, because if you don't know it, then you're not a bottom.
If you don't open like a flower, but
that's what I've learned.
like an orchid.
I think yours is probably more like a Venus flytrap,
like a snapdragon.
But because I didn't know this when I was younger, not as much now that I'm older, but my ass made its own lube. I was ready to go.
Say that, and that is so weird when you say it.
I'm telling you, all I needed was a little spit and a prayer, and I was down. So that, though, that is truthfully, though, where I remember.
I'm going to say this now. Most anal sex needs lube.
If you're
trying to do that, please use lube.
There's a lot of, talk to your doctor, but if you're nervous about that, there's actually a lot of really great Instagram accounts. There's one guy that I follow. He's like a redheaded gay. He talks about body. He's a doctor and talks about all this shit all the time. Evan Goldstein's a great doctor. Anyway.
Our Gentile friend.
Yes. Anyway. That moment, I'd never really thought about bottoming. And then that happened. I went, oh, yes, this is for me.
Immediately, you're like, oh, this is it.
This is it.
Oh, here we go.
This is it. Yeah.
And I just say, follow your bliss, y'all. Follow your bliss. And then don't let anything, whether it's a gender construct or what you think you don't like or what you think you are, and with your partner or whoever you're hooking up with, play around with different things and don't be afraid to say, let's try something else.
You know, what I was talking about, it felt good. I followed what felt good. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you're doing all this, follow what feels comfortable and also what feels good, what feels nice. Yep. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it.
And don't let anyone tell you who you are and what role you are.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. I think that's the show.
That is.
We wanted to end on that question of part one.
We are.
And part two will be coming up, I think, will be released tomorrow.
Next we're going to be talking about some other great questions that you asked. So... that's it, y'all. So we're gonna end it now. We're gonna jump into part two, and we'll see.
I will be talking about the musical Jagged Little Pill. There was a question about that, and Moulin Rouge. I will talk about both of those, and Hamilton. I'll talk about that too.
It's gonna be a Poodle's Broadway corner, y'all. All right, we'll see you in part two.